Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
And let's begin our studies again today by reading from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47. There was a prophecy in which Ezekiel was shown the house of God. He said, "Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east." If we continue from this verse 1 down to later on in the chapter, right, you see that the man began to take him down through greater distances, and they began to encounter deeper levels of water. Now, after they had gone through all of this, in verse 5 it says, "And again he measured 1,000, and there was a river that I could not ford." Remember that this water was coming from the temple, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. "Now, when I returned, behold, on the bank of the river, there were very many trees on the one side and on the other." Now, there's an interpretation to all of these things. He said, "Then he said to me, 'These waters go out toward the eastern region and go down into the Arabah. Then they go toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea become fresh. And it will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live, and there will be very many fish. For these waters go there, and the others become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes." Now, what we have been reading here is that vision that Ezekiel had, and he saw water flowing out of the temple of God. And we know, according to the testimony of Paul, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus was now referring to this particular water flowing. And we read about that from the book of John chapter 7 and in verse 37. Jesus said that, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me," he said in verse 38, "as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." Now, this scripture we said is the one we just read from Ezekiel chapter 47. And what was Jesus saying here? He was saying that anyone that faith towards him is found in his life, he will discover that from inside him will flow rivers of living water, that issues will come out from inside. And we say practically those things refer to solutions to problems around, because we see in that chapter 47 of the book of Ezekiel that he said that everywhere that this river flows towards, the water of the sea there will become fresh. And it will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the water goes will live. And that's what Jesus was saying, that from the inside of the believer, of the person who believes, will flow forth rivers of living water, will flow solution to the problems of life, will flow the solution to the troubles that have troubled people. One of the things that I love to let believers understand is that the reason why you have been born into the family you were born in, or into the community you were born into, is because God sees you as a solution to their problems. People, some, you know, there are different ways to interpret the issues of life when you find yourself in it. In fact, I've heard people who have studied marketing say, give this illustration several times, that two salesmen were sent to a community. Now, there was something about the community. People there didn't wear shoes. And these people were supposed to be marketing shoes. The first man went there. He said, "No, there's no market here because these people don't wear shoes." The other person went there and said, "Oh, there's a big market here because they have never worn shoes before. Now, we can teach them to wear shoes and begin to sell them shoes." That is the same affair of life. Two people are seeing two different opportunities or two different interpretations to it. And that's the way it is with life. Some people, you know, they consider themselves unfortunate and think God has been unkind to them because they had a friend, the father had a lot of money, the mother is very, very wealthy, and then the guy generally had life very easy. Do you understand? So why did I have to go through what I went through? I had to struggle to go through school. I had to struggle to have this done. I had to struggle to get things done in life. You know, and they start complaining. Now, one of the reasons why people complain actually is not because of their background. They are actually unconsciously worried about tomorrow. Do you understand my point? Because sometimes the way people respond, you don't know the exact thing that is ailing them. The real thing, they are not talking about it. They are behaving. You think that the man is complaining about the past. Actually, it's not the past that is his problem. It is the future. He sees it as if this means I will not go far in life. He doesn't understand. And that's what I want you to understand. Once you have become a believer, and that's what I say about Christianity. Christianity comes to introduce life into situations. And that's what Jesus was teaching. that anyone who believes, out of his belly shall flow forth rivers of living water. Now, there was something that was implicit in that statement, definitely implied it without saying it. And that's the fact that the person will first discover the river inside him, or the person will first find out that God will pour forth that river into him. Now, if you read from the book of John, there was something that happened there when Jesus, that's in the book of John chapter 4. Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman, who we all know about. He said in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God, who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. If you notice something here, that what Jesus said is that faith in me will first draw into your system living water. That's what he was saying. Now, Jesus said, everyone who drinks of this water, the physical well, in verse 13, shall thirst again. He said, but whoever, in verse 14, drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Notice something here. The person first drinks water from the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Jesus was saying, anyone who believes in me, what was implicit in that statement is the fact that that faith first draws water from the presence of God into the person's life, and then from his own innermost being, this water will begin to spring up. All right. First, he drinks. Then the water now begins to bubble out to eternal life. What he was saying is that just like he said in chapter 7, that water begins to spread life into situations. So this particular situation I'm talking about, the young man or young woman who will be complaining, what she doesn't understand, and this is what Christianity is, and that's what I like for people to understand. Once the fellow has faith, everything is an opportunity. Every challenge is an opportunity. Such challenges are meant to draw your faith to God so that you will go to God and drink water. And then that water begins to spring from inside you as rivers of living water to the circumstance around you. Now, the person who's unconsciously afraid of tomorrow will discover that once I have faith, I will know that God created me for a purpose. I was placed here to be a first. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It is not because nobody else has broken out of poverty or restrictions before me, it will mean that I will fall into the same circumstance. No. What Jesus is saying is that you will be the first. Do you understand my point? You will be the point through which I will break into your home with my eternal life. Now, this is the principle of Christianity. You know, I say that all the time. You've heard me say it 10,000 times. And that's the fact that you are living in a disadvantaged place. It's not an excuse. Do you get my point? For running up and down like Satan. Jesus said this is what faith does. It takes you on a journey into your inside. That is, once you have believed, the Lord has poured into you. Jesus told this woman, what you should have done is to ask, and I will have given you water to drink, and that water will be inside you, will turn into a well, all right, of water. That is, it will not only satisfy you, it will come out as satisfaction to all that interact with you. One of the things I have come to understand about real Christianity and the message of prosperity is that it is not about you. I was teaching in my office on Saturday, and I explained to people that one of the things I have come to know, and I thank God that many people have taught, have learned it, is that the gospel of prosperity is not about you. What the Lord told Abraham is that I will bless you so much you will be a blessing. The aim is to be a blessing. Abraham was supposed to be a channel through whom God will pour forth things into the earth. The end was not Abraham. Abraham was the means to bring forth the blessing that God had promised in the presence of Adam to the whole of mankind. They said, in you will all the nations of the earth be blessed. Listen to me. Once you can agree with God to be a channel, this is what God does. He said, the ox that's threshing out the wheat must not be muzzled. And that's why people who are wealthy should enjoy wealth. But the wealth is not about them. It's about the blessing they can be to a community. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So Jesus said, if you have faith, and that's why my main message is actually, that's once we agree with God to become a channel, that is the purpose of God, then automatically we are liberated from all the restrictions that we think could hold us down. Let me establish this again. There is nobody who believes in Jesus Christ that has any curse upon him holding him down. I need to say that because Christians have been thoroughly confused. They will say that my problem is ancestral curses. So they will go for prayers for days to break ancestral curses. Let me tell you how ancestral curses are broken. Jesus said, he that believes in me, and that's the end of it. He said he has passed out of death into life. If you can read that from the book of John chapter 5 verse 24. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believe him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. What it means to pass out of death into life is simply all the curses that you thought were holding you down, you have been liberated from them. That is a matter of fact. Anything you thought would have been a hindrance, because people will tell you that there is a tree in your house, you need to go and pray. That tree was dedicated to demon spirits by your grandfather, and that is the reason why you have not progressed. Listen to me, saints of God, it's a lie. It is a lie. There is no Christian that can be held back by the curse that was placed upon a tree in their compound. People will say that, it's because your grandfather was a Dibia. He was a demon worshiper. That is his personal problem. He has died with all his iniquities, and he has died with his demon worship. Now, one of the things people don't understand, because one of the issues is that when you talk to people like this, they start telling you stories. Listen to me. I preach the truth, which was founded upon the apostles and the prophets. That is what Jesus taught his disciples and what the prophets told us are the written documents of God. I am not interested in testimony. Because people come and tell me that this person was having problems. Then they went to the village, they went and prayed and broke the power of Satan inside the tree, inside their compound. Go and check. That guy's life has not changed much. He only improved for about a week or two. After that, he's back to where he used to be. Listen to me. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. How do you become free? By faith in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm talking about, the power of faith. Faith is a force. It's not just an agreement. It's not just a state of the heart. It's that when I believe what God has said, then automatically a power is released to effect that thing in my life. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? That is, look, a believer is set free. You have been set free. I need to let people know this, because, you see, Satan lies to people. He will tell them you are not yet free. I mean, look at what he did to Eve. He went and said, as God said, no, it is not true what God said. And listen, this is the interesting part. If you follow Satan, everything he says will appear to be true, because he takes it upon him as a responsibility to prove that God is lying. And God does not argue with Satan. He waits for you to choose who you want to believe. If you say you cannot prosper because you are Nigerian, and without getting the visa, nothing good will ever come to you, simple, it will be to you according to your faith. Despite the fact that you could have prospered more than Bill Gates, you still will not prosper. Why? Because you told yourself, you agreed with Satan that I can never prosper. Then when you have finally failed and failed thoroughly in life, you will say it is because of curses. It is because some people did not like me. When in reality, it was because of your own belief. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Please, I'm establishing something. This is what Jesus has said concerning those who believe in him. This is the power of Christianity. He said they will drink water. That water will get into them, become a well bubbling up and flowing out. Do you follow my point? As rivers of living water. And we read from that Ezekiel chapter 47. What does that water do? It imparts life everywhere he goes. So that young man we're talking about hypothetically at the beginning. So he discovers that though my beginning be small. Do you get my point? Yet my latter end shall greatly increase. That promotion does not come from the east or the west or from the south, but that God is judge and he brings down one and lifts up another. That if I walk with God, he will lift me up. That where I came out from, that's why Jesus was born in a manger. To let people know that no matter how low your beginning was, your latter end can indeed greatly increase. Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, nobody... There is nobody that has believed in him that he has not brought forth into the person's life a plan for greatness. And when I say greatness, some time ago I was talking about how to birth the visions of God in your life. And I explained something about the visions of God. That when we're talking about greatness, that's why I'm talking about that now. Greatness is not that now you're striking, now I have a big car. That's not what greatness is. Greatness is that now I have become a blessing to those who are around me. That if I don't wake up in the morning, there are many people that their days will not be fulfilled, because there are things I'm supposed to bless them with and I have not yet blessed them with it. Are you getting my point? Listen, the reason why Satan keeps us in bondage is because we wrongly define things. A lot of us are praying for prosperity. We don't know the meaning of prosperity. That is, I want to go out to go and look for a job. All I'm asking for is that, where can I get plenty of money? Where can I be paid? And as soon as you go into the presence of a man who wants to employ, he doesn't feel that you can be a blessing to him. Do you get what I'm going to say? That is, how do we define prosperity? We realize that this is how it is. It's about being a river of living waters.
Do you follow my point? It's about being a river of living water. And listen, once as a child of God, as a believer, you can agree with God like that. It's just a matter of time. You will discover the blessing will definitely manifest. Do you follow my point? Where you thought you were nothing, you will get to the same place and discover that you are everything. Do you? What I'm saying, I hope it's making sense to us here. That is, you are a blessing. God created you to transform your nation. He said, but before I bring you to that level of greatness, listen, there's some scripture I'd like to read before I leave that matter alone. And that's Isaiah chapter 49. Because one of the things that people don't understand is that life is in phases. And when we say that God created you to transform your nation, they don't understand that the fact that right now you are small in your own eyes does not mean that the statement is incorrect. Do you get my point? If you go to Isaiah chapter 49, if you read it, you from verse 1, Isaiah was speaking prophetically about the Lord Jesus Christ and something that was apparently happening in his own life. And this is an example of the phases of life. Now, here was somebody who God had created, who God allowed to come into the earth to transform not only his nation, but the whole world around him. But at the beginning, he had a vision for his nation, but that vision could not even be manifested. And this was what he said. He said, the Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named me. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. He said, in the shadow of his hand, he has concealed me. He said, he made my mouth like a sharp sword. This was a prophet speaking. He said, but in the shadow of his hand, he has concealed me. Despite the fact that I was well equipped, yet I was not visible. That's what he was saying. He said, he has also made me a select arrow. That is a well-prepared arrow. Notice the next line. He said, he has hidden me in his quiver. That is, despite the fact that I have all the skills, yet I am not visible. Despite the fact that I know how to do it, I have no opportunity to do it. Are you getting my point? Despite the fact that I have all the equipment, you sit down at home and you watch people on TV do things that you know you can do far better than them, but nobody has given you a platform. Because in life, it's not just about having ability, it's also about having the platform, the opportunity to express it. Sometimes maybe you sit down and they say, oh, this person won idols. And you say, I can sing better than this one, and it's not pride. You know as a matter of fact that you can sing better. Do you follow the point I'm making? But then nobody has given you the platform. A man releases a CD and he sells so many, he's known everywhere, everybody's playing the music. And you listen to your own demo and your friends compare the two. Do you get my point? And they know you are far better. That's what they are saying. You see, there's one big preacher, everybody knows about him, everybody talks about him. Maybe inside you, it is bubbling. You know you too, you can preach. You too, you know you can do everything that these people are doing. And prophecies have come upon your head and you know you can do it. But God has not given you the platform. That's what he meant when he said he has hidden me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will show my glory. He said, but I said, I have toiled in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yes, surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward is with my God. Now, what he's saying here is that I have tried also, I have labored, but I have not seen any result. But I remain with my faith in God, knowing that eventually God will give me what is my due. Now, if you see in verse 5, God now began to answer him. No, in verse 6, he says, what is really happening? He said, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel, that is, alone. He said, I will also make you a light to the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Now, God continued to speak. He said, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to the despised one, that is, despite all my energy, I still appear despised. He said, to the servant of rulers, he said, eventually when I'm through with you, kings shall see and arise, princes shall also bow down, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. He now said in verse 8, in a favorable time I have answered you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and I will give you for a covenant of the people to restore the land and to make them inherit the desolate heritages. Now I want you to understand something here. What this man was describing is a man of vision who has the talent, who has a skill, who has a calling, who God has not yet allowed to manifest. But God, he said, having prepared me, God hid me. Many times I try and I am discouraged. He said, but I know that my justice is with the Lord and my reward is with my God. And God said, when I am through with you, A time will come when kings will see you and they will arise, and princes shall also bow down. But please, I want you to understand something. God said, what I have prepared you for is that I will give you for a covenant of the peoples to restore the land, not just to be blessed yourself, and to make people inherit the desolate heritages. What am I saying? That sometimes you say, you hear somebody preach, like I've been saying, and say, God has created you to turn around your nation and to change your nation. And you have tried everything, but nothing seems to be working. Now, get what I'm saying? Now, I want you to understand that life is in seasons. One of the mistakes people make is that they don't understand that you don't walk because of results, you walk because of faithfulness. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. That if you know what is right to do, you do that which is right. A man came to me once and said he wanted me to pray with him. What is the issue? That he walks, but there has been no breakthrough. And I asked him, what exactly do you do? And he told me the kind of work that he does, that he is a teacher. And I said, but have you been, well, let me summarize all our discussion. I said, have you been teaching diligently? Have you been focusing on giving extra to the students? And he told me the other way he has planned, you know, that he had tried in the past to get breakthrough. And I looked at him, I said, no, that is a mistake. One of the things we misunderstand as believers is that maybe you go to church, they talk about prosperity. You think it means go and look for how to prosper. Let me explain it today. The number one way to prosper in life is to ask for it. That's number one. Now, this is what he has been doing to try and get. I said, that's a mistake a lot of people make. They think that if you believe in prosperity, you go and do what appears like a prosperous job. If you believe in prosperity, you go into business. No, but it's not like that. God says, abide in the calling in which you were called. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Now, so I told him simply, no, this is a mistake you have made. And of course, all those other things that he had tried had not prospered him. That's why he wanted me to pray. He felt there was a curse around him. He felt that people were oppressing him. I said, listen, no, you don't have any problem. If you're a child of God, this is a mistake you have made. Number one, you have pursued these other things because you felt that from there, blessing will come. I said, this is what you are supposed to have done and you should begin to do. One, return back to the main job that you have. Go in there and pour your energy into it. Let your pride come out of the success that your students are having. Do you get my point? Let it be that when you want to score yourself at the end of the year, you don't check how many new clothes you've bought, or whether you have moved from the house you were in into a better one, or you have bought a new car. No, check it that my students who took exams last time, how many of them passed? Compare that to the number who took exams last year. Let it be that before you came to that particular class, they were feeling worse. But now that you are the one teaching them, success has become their portion. Count your victory in the way by which you are helping people inherit desolate heritages. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, when you do that, what's happening is that it's a little thing you are doing. You are not visible. You are a sharp sword. You are a select arrow. God has hidden you in his quiver, meanwhile, because you are not visible. He said, but most certainly what he's saying is that in you I will show my glory. Now, even though you appear like you have not done much, be faithful in that which you are doing now. Do you get my point? Let the rivers inside you pour out into that which God has allowed you to have an influence in presently. And this is what will happen. Eventually, God knows where to find you. This is where I like to explain it. David was a faithful shepherd of ordinary sheep. God knew where to find him, and he made him shepherd over the whole of Israel. Listen to me. We are saying that God will use you to turn things around, not only for yourself, but for your environment and for your nation. It doesn't mean that you have to go and join a party because you want to become a senator or a president. It means that in the little thing that God has given you today, do you get my point? In that, be very faithful. Prove that you are a select arrow by affecting the small place where you are found currently. Now, you know, I began all of this by trying to explain an issue. That is what Christianity is. Our faith is supposed to bring forth from inside us the rivers of living water that God put inside them. Jesus said, if anyone believes, the faith actually is a way of drinking. Listen, this is a mistake we make. Christianity is not about getting my personal needs met. And listen, people say that anything you don't ask from God, he won't give to you. It is not true. Jesus said, if you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will add other things to you. Because many of the things we're asking for actually in life, they are basic things. God doesn't expect us to focus on those things. They are things that he gives to us as we, do you get my point? As we are faithful in seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. It's like you begin to work in a company, all right? And you are moving on, you are being very effective. The company is growing bigger. You don't have to pray to God before your boss buys a car. Do you get my point? Before you step into the level of using an official car. Because the official car was there for function. Any serious company that wants you to do well for them will buy you a car. and God is wiser than men. Are you getting my point? And that's how it is. If we prove faithful in helping people inherit the desolate heritages. Listen, faith is not about getting my stomach full. Jesus said, if I will use my faith effectively, seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I will discover that my stomach will be full. That's a matter of fact. Faith is not about using the power of God to change my wardrobe. God said, that one is a small thing. The grass of the field that Jesus was talking about, he said, one thing they don't do is pray about the appearance. He said, yet Solomon, with all the gold he had, was not as beautiful as any one of them. Are you getting my point? I'm talking about where we exercise our faith. Because faith is a force. What we need is faith to turn around our nation. Now, let me speak about things that really concern us right now in a country like Nigeria. Because every time we talk, from time, look, for more than 15 years, I have been saying that Nigeria is a good country. And listen to me, that is why it has no choice but to become, in material terms, very good a country. Why? That's what I'm using my faith for. Are you getting my point? I say, people say, it would be nice if you can have your children abroad. I say, I don't believe in it. All of them need Nigerian passport. I need to show that I really have faith. It's not speak outside, you know, and behind, go and do something else. No, that's not it. Because the sign of the covenant is how I circumcise my children, not just my own. No, that's a matter of fact. That is the sign of the covenant. So I say, I really have faith. And because Jesus was talking about salt of the earth, let's understand this thing. He said, you are the salt of the earth. Salt is used in the terms in which Jesus spoke for preservation. That is, I will have killed this earth. The iniquity of this nation will have destroyed the land. But because of the people of faith, it will not happen like that. But there will be forgiveness. The power of the blood of Jesus will bring good instead of judgment upon the land. That is what we use faith for. Are you getting my point? That is why we go around wearing Nigerian badges. Because we believe. Now listen, people think that you have not sinned. No, we are not walking by projection. We are determining things that have not yet been. That's what we are saying. No, we are not saying that we have checked the progress, all right, of the price of the dollar. And it looks like it's getting better. So therefore we know. Listen, when dollar was jumping from 40 naira to 70 naira to 100 naira, I was saying the same thing. When he returned, I started going down, crawling towards 115 naira, I'm still seeing the same thing. If he were to turn around tomorrow and start heading for 200 naira, I won't change my words. Are you getting my point? Because I'm not speaking according to what we are seeing. All right? We are speaking about that which is invisible that we have seen. We are helping to restore the land and make people inherit the desolate heritages. That this is where things have gone wrong. I know there is a river inside you listening to me that God said, if you will stop complaining, use your faith, allow this thing to rise up within you. You wake up one day and decide, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to begin to do this. In 10 years, you discover that that little artwork you began to do in your bedroom has begun to sell for $50,000 for one. And listen, please, I like believers to hear me. You don't have to change the kind of clothes you wear. That's not what we're talking about. We are not saying you will change the kind of food you eat. But God will say, listen, now all those dreams for making your country better, I have sent resources across your way. Are you getting me? So as to make them reality now. That is why, listen, if you are doing business and you are prospering, if you want that business to die, sit down one day and say, now I have enough food to eat. God will kill it. Your vision must be, last year we had 50 employees. God, what's wrong with it? By next year we should have 100. Not that we are just giving out jobs anyhow. We are expanding and we are requiring manpower. What am I saying? He said, he that believes, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or PO Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria.